Parshas Re'eh in 57:78. The pasuk says Yud Gimel Beis. Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis says Ki Yakum Bikirbach Navi O Cholim Chalom. If there comes amongst you a navi, a prophet, or someone who has a dream, and Asen Lecha Osam Opes, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, Uva Osvam Opes. The next pasuk says in Pasuk Gimel, and that sign, that wonder comes up. Asher Dibar Alecha Lemo, that he had spoken to you, saying, let's go after other gods, that you do not know, and let us serve them. If he gets up and he says that, we're going to say, you should kill such a person. But he gives an oath, he gives a mofes, he gives a sign, he gives a wonder, and it happens. What this guy said, this false Navi said, happened to come true. Our problem today is going to be, simply put, why did it come true? Why is this Navi being listened to? Why is the Kadosh Baruch Hu allowing such a thing to happen? It's an obvious question. But the Ravina Bachai introduces the idea by saying, it's well known that a Navi is someone who tells an oath, and the oath comes to fruition. If something's missing from his words, if he loses out on something, then we say such a person is not a Navi, and he can be killed. It's learned out from Yushalmi Brachos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet. The Gra says that's learned out from this pasuk. Aside from the fact that we need his words to be true, it's possible that he's going to tell us that something is going to happen, and then people are going to do tshuva or become better, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away that sort of thing. That does not turn him into a Navi Sheker. Sometimes nevuos that are bad can end up being turned around in a different way. The famous example is Yonah. That Yonah, that who ran away from the nevuah that Hashem had told him to tell the people of Nineveh to do tshuva, he went eventually to the people of Nineveh and said, this city will be overturned. And it did happen. The city was overturned because they did tshuva, and it was a completely different city. So somehow a nevuah can turn into something good, a bad nevuah can turn into something good, but a good nevuah can't turn into something bad. Those were all introductory statements. Rashi says, the difference between an oath and a mofes, a sign and a wonder, is that a sign is in the heavens. A sign is something that happens in the heavens. For example, the moon will be knocked out for a little bit. The light of the moon will be darkened, and it's a sign. The guy gets up and he says, this is what's going to happen over here. Gidon asked for a sign, an oath from the heavens, that he would win the war against the Amalekim and the Midianim. And that sign was that rain would come down from the heavens and either be all around the storage house and not on the piece of wall, or just on the wall, but not around the area around him. But that was one thing that he said. Or from the Osos, simply put, from Maisa Bereishis on day 4, there were Osos in the sky. That's how we know that an Os refers to something in the sky, in the heavens itself. A Mofes is always on the ground. And seemingly, either that's learned from Gidon, a different gear than Rashi itself, or from, simply put, the word Mofes seems to be something that's on the ground itself. Even if he predicts both, if he says, I have an Os and a Mofes, I'm telling you, both are going to happen. There's going to be signs in the heavens, signs on the earth. Nonetheless, you can't listen to him. The Ramban argues. He says an oath is something that a person imagines will happen in the future, and then it happens. I'm telling you what's going to be, and that's what's going to happen, and that's what ends up happening. Asa boker v'gam laila. The word asa is like the word oath, that this is going to happen. Asa mirvos kodesh. While a mofes is something that you've never seen before, a wonder that you cannot imagine whatsoever, a shinoi teva, a change in the natural order of the world from the word pitui, that there's almost, so to speak, a seduction convincing us what is supposed to happen over here, whether it's real or not. Something that's so wondrous that it makes people wonder aloud what happened, that is called a mofes, says the Ramban. So it has nothing to do with the heavens and the earth, seemingly. It has to do with, simply put, is it about the future, or is it about something awesome that happened over here? When the Jews were in Mitzrayim, there were osos, where Moshe Rabbeinu was predicting what was going to happen. I'm going to take this staff, I'm going to throw it down, it's going to turn into a snake. I'm going to do other things. I'm going to take this water, I'm going to put it on the ground, it's going to be the blood. And obviously the Makos themselves, predicting what's going to happen, those were osos. They were also mofsim, wonders beyond nature, supernatural occurrences that happen. And that's why the word os and mofes are both referred to over here. When Yeshaya's servants in Perek Lamed Ches walked barefoot for 3 years straight as a sign to the Egyptians and the Ethiopians that something was going to happen, their nations were going to be destroyed, that was described as an os, because it was in the future, your countries are going to be destroyed. And a mofes, because it was a wonder. People were wondering why these guys were walking barefoot for 3 years straight. Why in the world was this going on? Both of them are mentioned over here. That's the idea behind it. This Navi is doing one of those two things. He's either predicting the future, or he's doing something that seems supernatural. Says the Ramban, that is an os, and that is a mofes. Says the Malban, You can combine these ideas and make them into one. Rashi and the Ramban, and make it into one full idea. There's a crazy little idea over here. It's very unlikely that a Navi Sheker is going to have the power to be able to make things happen in the sky itself. Very unlikely that's going to happen. It's more likely that he'll be able to tell the future by looking up at the heavens and seeing what's going to be in the future through the constellations and astrology. He's able to figure out what's going to be. On the other hand, Mophis, things that are going to happen, the wonders, that's going to be on the ground itself. So think of this. An Os, says Rashi, is in the heavens. You're right. It's something that he sees from the heavens is going to happen. And a Mophis is on the ground. It's a supernatural occurrence that you cannot imagine would ever happen, but it did happen. Something crazy that happened over there, says the Malbim, Rashi and the Ramban can be merged into one great idea. Now the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says this is what happened. A Jewish man comes up to us, a man who is already well known to be a very special person. And here's what he says. He says the following. I had a dream, or I had a vision, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu told me that a sign or a wonder is going to happen. And if it does, then we immediately have to do some type of avodah zarah. This is what's going to happen. If this happens, Hashem told me that we have to worship this avodah zarah. However, if it doesn't happen, if the Os and the Mophis don't happen, then we have to destroy the avodah zarah. This is a guy who's not claiming to come from idol worship. He's claiming that God condones this idol worship if the following happens. I'm just going to give an example. If there's a shooting star that goes through the sky at exactly 10 p.m. tonight, then we have to worship a certain avodah zarah that all the Indians worship. And if not, then we don't have to worship it. Not only that, but we're going to destroy it. That's what the Navi Sheker did. Since he's saying certain things in which it sounds like he's prophesying in the name of God, he's not doing it from avodah zarah. He's doing it from Hashem. You'd think maybe this is legitimate. Maybe you should listen to him. Maybe we should destroy the avodah zarah afterward, like he says, and he still is a Navi Emes. Maybe this is really Navi Emes. Comes the Pasuk and says, such a man is a Navi Sheker, and you must kill him. He is required to be killed. Then Itziv says it's very difficult to think that anybody's going to listen to that. Can you imagine somebody listening to that and saying like, okay, not a problem. We're going to be going. That's ridiculous. Instead, he says the case is there's a plague that's going around a huge city. People are dying left and right. They're davening to Hashem and it's not working. And a well-known Talmud Chacham gets up and he says, the reason why is we need a certain segula. That segula is the worship of a certain avodah zarah. By doing this, I don't know, let's just say, like this special healing process that the Indians believe in, that somebody who worships avodah zarah believes in, by doing this healing process, everything's going to come out okay. We just have to do it. And once we do it, everything will be fine. You think, let's ascertain. We don't know what this guy is talking about. Maybe this avodah zarah does have a school that has healed this plague. Maybe there's a way of getting rid of leprosy by listening to this avodah zarah. Maybe we should pay attention to this avodah zarah and do it. After all, he's a well-known person. He's a well-known tzaddik. Maybe that's why. Maybe we should listen to him. And then the pasuk says, no. Even in order to heal people, even in order to save people's lives, you are not allowed to do anything that resembles avodah zarah, even if a Navi gets up and says, yes, this time we can do it. And I think that makes a lot of sense to me, that people would actually listen to this. If you had a huge plague going on, and one person said, there's one thing that we can do, and unfortunately it's avodah zarah, but if we do it, it will work. I think people are going to listen to that. People are going to believe it, and people are going to want to do it, because that's what it sounds like. Ibn Ezra says, this is a Jewish man, and told us something crazy, but it came true, and that's why we listened to what he had to say. He gave an Os and a Mophis. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, this is a guy who's a real Navi, not just a tzaddik, not just Stam a Yid, but a real Navi who's prophesied before. He's done this before. And that's why I'm listening to him, because he's a real Navi, which means this pasuk could not take place nowadays when we don't have real Naviim. We have tzaddikim, but we don't have Nevi'im, it wouldn't happen nowadays. The Chizkuni, the Shach, the Paneach Raza, all bring a Sifri from Rabbi Akiva. The Chas V'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never allow a person who just gets up and does evil to do signs and wonders or anything like that. This is a man who's a well-known Navi, he says. Not a Tzaddik, but a Navi. The signs and wonders he showed you was when he was a Navi Emes. He was a Navi Emes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're talking about a Yeshaya, a Yechezkel, a Yirmiah. All of them were Nevi'e Emes. They gave signs and wonders. They did unbelievable things. And they showed you what they said was true. And then they come along and they say something that's a little bit different. Maybe we should listen to him in deference to the fact that he'd done such great things before. And we say no. Even then, even though it's Yeshaya HaNavi, if he now tells us to do something like avodah zarah, kill him. Get rid of him. He cannot be in this world. That's the idea behind it. There's a Bala Turim in this pasuk. He says the word Bikir Becha, 324, is the same gematria as Zu Ha'isha. This is the woman. Strange wording. Ki Yakum Bikir Becha, when there comes up amongst you, says the Bala Turim, Zu Ha'isha. When the woman comes up against you, and he bases it on a Sifri, which seemingly we don't have, which is a very, very strange Sifri. What's going on over here? What is this gematria? It doesn't make any sense at all. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. What in the world is going on over here? So the idea is, brought down, there probably was a censor at some point. Remember, the Christians had access to all of the Jewish books. Had they seen some of the things that were written in the Jewish books, they would probably have gotten upset. They could start pogroms. They could kill the Jews. They could burn the books. The Bala Turim wanted to say the following. Ki yakum bikerbecha navi. When a navi gets up amongst you and starts claiming, gives you signs and wonders that what he's saying is true, and he walks on water, and he makes people live, and he heals the sick with signs and wonders, like a certain Yeshu, a Yashka, may have done years ago. When that happens, right, says the Bala Turim, you cannot listen to him and you must kill him. The wording Bikir Becha is Zua Isha. The next wording in the pasuk, Bikir Becha, Navi. Navi is the gematria of Ubena and her son. So the Bala Turim is missing a word on purpose. They were worried about what the Christians would say. But it's Zua Isha Ubena is the same gematria as Bikir Becha Navi. It's 387. And this is brought down from the Tur on the Torah. The Tur on the Torah. The Tur wrote the Bala Turim, and he also wrote a Perish on the Torah itself, like the Bala Tosfos. He did that, and the Tzor Lateva brings that down as well. The Paneach Raza puts the ideas together. He says it's a Kal Vachomer. We shouldn't listen to the mopsim that come through magic and trickery, let alone what Yeshu did, the Maaseh HaGadol, he calls him, the great trickster, the great shyster, who was never a Navi Emes, who never said anything true, and still tried to convince people that he's legitimate. You cannot listen to a word he says. That's what you mean by Bikir Becha Navi. The truth is that I don't know if this is shot in the Bala Turim itself. There is no, the Atros Adar, which is the sefer that everybody uses as a parish on the Bala Turim, Atros Adar does not bring down any girsos, any text of any Bala Turim that has that as his girsa change. Meaning, this isn't brought down anywhere. Somebody came up with this, and it's an amazing gematria, but that doesn't seem to be what it's referring to. Instead, says the Meshech Chachma, it's possible what he means is like this. Zu Ha'isha is referring to a regular woman. Maybe you'd think that this nevuah can only be said by a man. Maybe you'd think that only if a man gets up and says this do we listen to a guy and kill him if he says something wrong. But if an Isha, if a woman gets up and does it, maybe she doesn't get killed. Zua Isha is, it's the exact same halacha as a man. Just like if a man gets up and does it, he is killed. So too if an Isha, if a woman gets up and does this, she is killed as well. It's not as exciting, because it's a lot more exciting if we're talking about Yashka and we're dealing with, you know, with Yeshu himself. But regardless, it's probably the most likely pshat that we have over here. And this Sifri does include, there is a Sifri that says, Ki yakum b'kavach ha-navi, also a woman. So too, if a woman does this, it's going to be the exact same halacha. Okay, the Ramban says, this is a Navi because of what's going on right now. Not because of what happened before. This is not a previous Navi, says the Ramban. He is claiming to be a Navi, and therefore we say that he's a Navi. Now, you got to be careful with this. The Ramban says that a Navi is not necessarily just a person who speaks to God and has a relationship with God. The word Navi really refers to anybody who has weird visions in which he sees or dreams about things that other people don't. Meaning, this is a guy who's inclined to be more spiritual. A person who gets these crazy visions, which normally nowadays we look at a person, we say that guy's crazy. That is the Navi of yesteryear. There were Nevi'im that were Nevi'ei Emes, people that actually spoke to God, that stopped when Anshei Knesset HaGedolah took away the powers of Nevuah around Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, around the time of about 300 before the Common Era, give or take a couple 50 years or so. Around that time is when Nevuah stopped, real Nevuah stopped. But there have always been, and there always will be, the Nevuah of Shotim. Shotim as in fools. There are people that are able to glimpse realities that other people can't get. There are people that are able to have dreams that really mean something, not fakes, really mean something, and they're going to come true. There are people that have visions, and maybe people here, in I don't want to call it shotim as in foolishness, as in you're a fool and not worthy to be listened to. I mean as in there are people who are in a state of just shock, where they realize something or see things that they never would have imagined. There is enough empirical evidence, right, for us to be able to at least say that this is clearly in front of our faces, where there are people who have seen things, near-death experiences in which they have out-of-body experiences, where there are crazy things that happen. All of those people, says the Ramban, are Nevi'im, just not necessarily Nevi'ei-Emes. This guy is also a Navi. He's getting up and telling us, this is what I saw. He might be right. He may have seen this. In his mind, he may have seen something like this. Whether he's crazy or not, I don't know. But says the Ramban, he's getting up and saying it. If he's saying something that makes sense, like he says, guys, I just got a crazy vision. Everyone must be in chakras tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. We have to stand and daven or else something bad might happen. Then you can listen to him. There's no problem with that. He's not claiming to get a nevuah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And for somebody to get up and say that, that's almost like, okay, inspirational. That you can go ahead and listen to. But if the guy gets up and says, I saw a vision and God appeared to me and told me, we're going to worship idols. We're going to do something else entirely. Right? Something else is true. Something else is right. That's when you kill the guy, even though he very well may have convinced himself that what he saw is real. If you would take a lie detector test, he might pass the test. He might pass it. Says the Ramban, you can get these types of visions, but that doesn't mean it's true. That means this guy may have convinced himself something is true. He could be a complete fool. He could be somebody who is just beyond the ordinary and doesn't get what's going on in the world. That doesn't mean he's not a Navi. The word Navi is so generic. The word Navi can be used for such a person. He says, that's what the Khartoumim were in Mitzrayim. Those Khartoumim, the people that spoke to the dead, the necromancers of Mitzrayim, there were people that were able to see things in the future and could tell you what's going to be, and they were able to even do this sleight of hand where this type of magic was able to be formed in front of them. Maybe, they even did real kishuf with Maisa Shadim and everything, with demon powers or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. All those people are Nevi'im, but that's not a Navi Emes. That's a Navi Sheker. And he says there's something called Kahin. I don't know how to pronounce it. Chaf Hei Yud Nun. The Me'am Lois talks about this as well. The Me'am Lois and the Rabbeinu Bechaya both bring down this idea over here. This Navi Sheker is a guy who's claiming anything in the world that's coming from some weird powers or even from Hashem himself. If he tells us to do something that is Aser, not just for a little bit of time, but forever or Avodah Zarah at all, then he immediately gets killed. That's what the Pasuk is referring to. And no one should think, this is what the Ramban is trying to say, that such a thing can't even happen today. It of course can happen today. There are such people today that claim to see things or visions or whatever it is. And those people have to be reckoned with if they say something like this to us or tell us that this is what we have to do. That's the idea behind it. To kill them, I don't know, in America probably not. But, you know, I don't know. If you live in Europe, maybe. All right, and Rashi. Rashi then asks, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow this guy to be successful? Why is this guy working? How did this happen? He said an oath, and he said, believe me, or else, if this happens, if the following happens, then you have to worship Avodah Zarah. And it happened. Why would Hashem allow that to happen? Why not just shut him down? Make sure the oath doesn't happen. He does a mopes, he does a miracle. In order to do a miracle, you have to go beyond the natural world. Why is Hashem allowing this guy to go beyond the natural world? And Rashi says the most unbelievable answer, but it's really a pasuk in the Torah. It's pasuk Dalid in this week's Parsha. The reason why? Ki menase Hashem Elokeichem Eschem. God is testing you. Now this is a crazy test. And a test that I don't know how many people were able to pass. But he's testing you. It's a continuation of the two psukim above. When you see these osos and mosim happen, and you see a guy who's claiming that it's from Avodah Zarah and worship the Avodah Zarah, because that's how I know about this stuff, it is a test. You cannot believe that Avodah Zarah has anything real to it. You cannot believe in that stuff. What's up, Ari?
Isn't there a Gemara in Sanhedrin, or maybe it's Sanhedrin, I think, that says Nebuah can trump things in the Torah?
Kishuf. Kishuf, the reason why it's called Kishuf is called Machishin Pamalya Shalmaila. That is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, around the Ayans. So, yes.
So let's say this guy, someone had a Nevuah that said, like, to kill someone, not a Avodah Zarah, which is something that...
He got a Nevuah to kill somebody.
To die for. So you're not, obviously not supposed to do that. Maybe kill someone.
he's telling you to kill someone. He's saying, like, I got a Nebuah that you should go kill someone. Because, again, if this guy got the Nebuah.
What if it's a different topic?
So the only thing that's usher right then is a Avodah Zarah. Everything else, if he says just this one time, it could be taken. It depends on what kind of a Navi he is. Where did this guy come from? If he's a Navi MS and he all of a sudden says this and he brings you an oath and a bow face that this guy has to be killed, then yes, they probably would listen. Right, but if the guy just got up out of nowhere, he's from Tel Aviv Pizza, and like all of a sudden he comes up to you and he's just like, guess what, go kill this guy, and I have an oath, like tomorrow you'll see it's going to be hailing, and it hails the next day, you don't say like, okay, get the knives ready, like that guy's from Tel Aviv Pizza, you got to calm down, you know what I'm saying? What? They are holy, no question, but they're not holy enough for us to be able to listen to them. Listen, that one booth in Tel Aviv Pizza is a very, very special booth. If you sit there, you probably will get Nebuah yourself. I don't know what's going on in that booth. But yeah, you got to be careful. There are certain areas that you just stay away from, and that's one of them. Either way, regardless, I like Tel Aviv Pizza, though. The pizza's pretty good. You got to... Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, as long as... Yeah, all right, anyway. Regardless, that's why the Pasuk used the word key, because it's a continuation from what we had before in Sanhedrin. Tzadiyam and Aleph, we say from Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's what this evil man is doing. That's the idea behind it. The Rashbam says, maybe this man was able to figure out the future from some type of Ruach Hatuma or a shade, Trufim, Ov, Yidoni, anything's over there. It's possible, says the Rashbam, that he did have something that goes through. It doesn't make a difference because he had that power. And as you just said, Ari, Kishuv has the power to, you don't want to even say it, but override what God wants. It's not because God put it in the system that Kishuv can, so to speak, defeat him. Machish and Pamal Yishmael. It can deny what the Beis and Shemaila wants. You don't want to say it this way, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to be that Kishuv can trump other things, other plans. So yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in there, and maybe that's the reason why this guy is doing it. It's not because he's for real. It's because he has a power, the same way we have Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that do crazy things in Kabbalah Mises. They have powers as well. There is a possible power of Tuma that causes things to happen, and we have to be careful because of that. Swono says, you got to be careful as well. Maybe the signs that he's predicting are just things that are very well known. Halley's Comet comes once every, 86 years, I think it is, right? So let's say he happens to know that from someone that wrote it down. And he gets up and he says, I think it was Christopher Columbus who was able to convince some of the American Indians when he first came. Does anybody know this story? He was able to convince the American Indians because he had an almanac and he knew when the next solar eclipse was going to be. And he claimed to the people, if you try to kill me, then the sun will darken. And it was that day that they tried to kill him and the sun darkened because it was regular solar eclipse. So they let him go, they let him free, and lo and behold, the Americans took over and the Indians are all dead. That's what ended up happening. But there was I believe that's a real story. I don't think that's a myth. It could be a myth. But that's a story that they bring down about Christopher Columbus, that he knew something. What does that mean? Is he a Navi? Says this morning, check it out. Are there patterns to what he's saying? He's claiming, listen, there are volcanic eruptions that happen at certain intervals at certain times. Maybe he's predicting it, not based on something crazy, like he got a Nebuah, but he happens to know these types of things. This is his family tradition or something that he got, that everybody knows something's going to happen. It was a crazy thing. Not too long ago, there was supposed to be tremors, small tremors in Eretz Yisrael. About 5 weeks ago, there was an article that I read, that just all about they are due for an earthquake in Eretz Yisrael, that it's due for an earthquake. Now, that guy is not a Navi predicting something. That's because there is a certain amount of years in which Eretz Yisrael is gone because they do lie in a large fault line in which it's likely that an earthquake is going to come. So if a guy gets up and predicts it, it's possible it's true, but it might not be. It might not be. It might just be that he's a tremendous guesser or he knows certain things when it comes down to it. We've already said that Moshe Rabbeinu's nisim were not what convinced Bnei Yisrael to listen to him. Moshe Rabbeinu had tremendous miracles, but that wasn't what made Bnei Yisrael decide, I am going to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm on Moshe Rabbeinu's side. That's not what happened. The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was accepted is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is my man, in front of all of them on Har Sinai. Nisim shouldn't prove anything to you. They are a nice, let's say, whipped topping on top of a nice thing of ice cream. They're a nice little thing to add on to your dessert, but it is not something that you can believe in and say, this is it. He brought me an oath, I believe in it automatically, because then we fall prey to people like Shabtai Tzvi and other fakers who may have this one trick up their sleeve, this one thing that they know how to do, and then it's gone. And then everything's completely gone. The Shach, well, I guess the Chizkuni, the Shach, the Razin Meir, they all believe in this as well. They all have the same basic idea that goes through. The Razin Meir says, is there no Bechira in such a case? If a man chooses to do evil, I don't even understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would try to take it away. It's like, it's one of those famous machlokesim, which I know Rav Dessler has a huge piece on in Shara Bechira, and which Rav Dessler speaks about. If I murder somebody, does that mean that God wanted this guy murdered and I just happened to take the place of the murderer? Or is it that I can supersede God's plan and that if I decide to murder someone, even if Hashem doesn't want this guy murdered, I can murder him and cause him to die? Can I cause a person to die with my bechira, my free will, that was not supposed to die? That's a great question. It seems to me the Razin Meir is saying it obvious. Of course you can. Of course you can. Even if that guy was not supposed to die, if I decide right now to take a knife and go stab somebody, I can kill him. I can kill him, even if Hashem didn't want him dead, so to speak. That wasn't part of the original plan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to do the skew in the system, bring it back somehow by doing other things. Of course, a person has Bechira. He says he doesn't even understand the question, but from the fact that the Rishonim seem to have held otherwise, where Rashi is saying, how does this work? It must be because God is testing us, so God is involved. Sounds like we can only do something if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that to be. It sounds like this is an actual machlokas Rishonim. This idea that Reb Dessler brought down is a machlokas between the Panach Raza and Rashi, which the Raza Meir points out. I'm not positive about that. I know that Reb Dessler, again, he has about 50 pages on this. It takes a lot of work to go through, and I haven't been through it in years. I think Rabbi Tatz, every speech that I hear from him is based on this topic, except for the Aseret Dibros one. The idea behind it, I understand this is probably a machlokas Rishonim. I understand that. Were you going to ask a question, Gav? Possibly, meaning we have the ability to create, right? We have something that's a little bit different. Yeah, I possibly, but again, beyond my pay grade. Although it seems strange to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow the Zavodah Zarah and all these Rishonim to be successful in everything they do and stuff like that, it seems HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fine with causing miracles to happen even for people that are not so great. I'm going to give an example. There's a Gemara in Shabbos Nun Gimel Mabez. For those who are a little queasy, maybe you don't want to listen to this, it's a weird Gemara. But there's a Gemara, Shabbos Nun Gimel Mabez. There was a man whose wife passed away and left a child. I don't know if it was a boy or girl, whatever, a child was left. The child needed milk. He couldn't afford a nursemaid, and there was no alternative. If you didn't have mother's milk, there was no formula back then, so the baby was going to die. So the man, I guess, davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a miracle happened, says the Gemara, and his own chest opened up, and he was able to feed the baby himself. The man was able to feed the baby, and the baby lived. So a miracle happened. So Rav Yosef got up and said, wow, how unbelievable is this guy? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did such an awesome miracle for him so that his baby wouldn't die. That's what it says over there. And Abaye turns to Rav Yosef. You should know Rav Yosef got very sick toward the end of his life to Gemara and Erevin. Abaye used to correct Rav Yosef when something like this would happen. That's why you'll see throughout the Gemara, Rav Yosef, I never heard this before. And Abaye said to him, what do you mean? You told it to us. Here's what you said. Quite often, Abaye would correct Rav Yosef, his Rebbe, because Rav Yosef had forgotten his learning because of sickness. So Rav Yosef said, this guy is amazing. Comes along Abaye's student and says, no, how terrible is this guy? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishana Sidre Bereshis for him. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to change and do a miracle for him. There are so many other ways that this could have happened. Your child needs to get milk. A woman could come along and say, oh, hey, do you need help with that baby? I could take care of him for you. I don't have any money to pay you. It's okay, I'll do it for free. That's a miracle that would have been fine. The guy could have found a gold coin in the street, picked it up and said, oh, now I'll be able to pay for money for food for my baby. I'll be able to pay for my baby that way. Or he could have gotten remarried. All of those things could have happened. But instead of that happening, listen to this. Listen to this. He had a crazy, weird miracle happen for him that doesn't ever happen, in which he was able to feed the baby himself. Says Abaye, that's weird. That's strange. Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu allow such a thing to happen? So that's the question. Says the Vilna Gaon. So this is weird, Abaye, the way Abaye is looking at it. This guy is a bad guy, so to speak. Then why would Hashem allow it to happen? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow this to happen? Through this is what happened. Years ago, I got into a big machlokas with my Rosh Kollel, Rabbi Silver, in Eretz Yisrael. And we got into a whole machlokas of Yosef HaTzadik and his fingers. For those who know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to be graphic over here. But there was Zera that came through Yosef HaTzadik's fingers after he was with Eishes Potiphar. So he always thought that was euphemistic And it really meant that he used his fingers to cause Zera to come out. Okay, without being graphic, but he did that. I said, no, it was a miracle. And his fingernails had Zera come out from them, which is absolutely unnatural and weird. And he said to me, why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu do a strange miracle for something that was bad for Yosef? And I didn't have an answer for it. I still have no answer for it, really. But it seems that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will allow miracles to happen that are Meshane Sidre Bereshis, that can cause things to happen. And this is the proof. And the Vilna Gaon says why. It doesn't necessarily answer up Yosef, but it answers up this guy over here. A miracle can happen that's weird and strange and bad for you if someone else is being affected. Meaning, this kid had to live. So what's going to happen? The kid was going to have a miracle happen for him. The miracle had to happen. And the miracle was that his father ended up having milk to be able to feed him. But for the father, that's weird. It's strange. This guy should not have had that. That's Mishana Sidra Bereshis. Why? But for the kid, it was absolutely necessary. Says the Vilna Gaon, sometimes miracles happen, not because of this guy, but because of somebody else. And the truth is, this is all a Gemara, where they brought it to Rabbi Kiva. They said, I don't understand. Why are these miracles happening? These Ovdei Avodah Zarah are claiming that there will be rain, and there's rain. They claim that a guy is going to be healed, and the guy's healed. And Rabbi Kiva told them, Mashal. You know what it's like? It's like, at the end of the day, that's what was supposed to happen. The guy was supposed to be healed on a Monday. And this guy got up on Sunday, and he's a priest in a church, and he gets up and he says, that man will be healed. He was supposed to be healed the next day anyway. It happened to be the day before the priest got up and said it. Says Rabbi Akiva, that's not a proof that what the priest was saying was correct. He's still worshiping Avodah Zarah in some way, shape, or form. That's not proof. It happened to be. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to do? He's going to take away the refuah for that guy because this guy claimed it was going to happen? He's going to take it away because of that? No. He's not going to. He's going to allow the refuah to happen. And those people want to be fooled will be fooled. Those people want to think that that guy was telling the truth. They'll tell the truth. This is the idea, it says. Says the Vilna Gaon, there are people out there that happen to be correct. They give a sign, they give a wonder. They're claiming something's going to happen, and it happens to be that they're correct. Not because they actually have powers or that they have the ability to do it. It's because they're great guessers. And it was going to happen anyway, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it happen right there in that moment. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's how you have to look at these signs and wonders. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for him. He's doing it for someone else. A guy who worships Avodah Zarah gets up and says, it is going to rain tomorrow. There's been a huge drought for 3 years. He gets up and he says, it will rain tomorrow. If it rains tomorrow, everyone has to think, my God, my Avodah Zarah, will come worship my Avodah Zarah. And it rains. You know why it rained? It didn't rain because of this guy, the guy who was speaking of Avodah Zarah. It rained because hundreds of people needed rain. And that's why it rained. Not because of him, but because of them. That's how you have to understand the os and the mofes of this guy getting up there. That's what it means. It's not that what he's saying is absolutely true. It's the opposite. And the test, the real test, says Chassam Sofer and Toras Moshe, is our reaction when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. Again, I'm going to say this, and it's a little graphic, but the Chassam Sofer says it in Toras Moshe, so I'm going to say it. Man turns to his wife, and he says, I give you permission, and I even command you to be together with any other man you want. You're no longer, we're going to be married, but I want you to be together with any other man. So you might think she's being commanded to do so by her husband. So she would say to herself, okay, if my husband's commanding me to do so, then I'm supposed to be together with that other guy. But that's not the reaction you should have. The wife's reaction should be, I would never want to be together with anyone else but you. I never want to be anywhere else. And if you tell me to do this, I'd rather you kill me than be together with somebody else. I would never do that. A person who truly loves the other person would never say, okay, that's fine, I'll go somewhere else and I'll do something different. No, of course not. True love means you're willing to say to that person, no, I am with you no matter what. I'm not doing anything else. There are enough stories about this where a person gets sick and says, you don't want me anymore, let's get divorced so you can marry somebody different. And the other person, the spouse, says, that's not what I want. I want to make sure that I'm with you, that you're the right person for me in that way. That's the true test of love, says the Chassam Sofer. And if that's the true test of love, that's how we have to act with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It seems strange that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do this to us. It seems strange that God's test, and I know it seems strange, that God's test is almost like masochistic, saying to us, listen guys, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Go worship a Bodhisattva and it'll work. Okay? Just do whatever you want to do. It seems strange that Hashem tests us that way. But our reaction has to be, I don't care if it's going to work. I'm with you, God. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not speaking to anyone else. I'm not doing anything else. This is me and this is you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when sometimes we don't have the greatest of relationships, we're still going to work it out together. We're going to be awesome together. It'll take us a little bit, but we'll get back on track. Things will be better. That's the true sign of a real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when it's difficult. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says, he quotes the Chafetz Chaim. It's also brought in Tam V'Das by Rav Sternbach, and the Chafetz Chaim al Torah, the three-volume blue, said, the times of Ikvasa D'Mishicha, the times that we're in right now, is a time of refinement. Like a piece of silver and gold that has to be put through a kiln over and over and over again to get rid of the impurities so that you have the pure, pure gold that comes out. When people see, right, when we see people, I should say, who are against the Torah's ideals and doing the wrong things, and they're against God in general, atheists or agnostics that get up there and they're so successful. They're so successful. And they even try to bring proofs to what they're saying. And I'm going to say proofs with the air quotes over here, because I don't believe there's ever been a proof for any of the stuff that they're saying. But the ideas of like, see, I'm right. See, there's more. I can do this. I can do that. See how many things I can do. Says the Chafetz Chaim, when the candle is about to go out, the flame is the strongest it's ever been. When the night is about to turn to dawn, it is the darkest right before dawn. The concept behind this, says the Chafetz Chaim, when the world is going to be reconstructed through Mashiach ben David, when the world is about to go through, then the tumah of the world has this added strength. They are more powerful than they've ever been before. More powerful, so much so, that it's almost blindingly convincing that we shouldn't believe in God. Where people look at you and say, you believe in God? What, are you crazy? What, are you crazy? Why would you do that? Where normal people look at you and think you're nuts for believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at that point, when we're at the darkest, the lowest ebb, we know the Mashiach is coming right after this. We know the Mashiach is coming right after. Says the Chafetz Chaim, this is what's going to happen. The more proof that they bring, the more answers that are hard for us to come by, the more times that we have to look at ourselves and say, you know what, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. That is the true test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us under, that this pasuk is referring to, in which we're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu our true love and saying, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's difficult right now, but I truly believe it's there. Now again, there are some people who are going to tell me, I've never seen any proof to anything that's atheistically inclined or agnostically inclined in my life. And I personally would agree with you. That has not been an issue of mine. I have other issues, but my issue has never been regarding whether there's a God or not. Thank God that has never been an issue of mine. And it's very difficult for me to talk to people who don't believe in God because of that. When a guy comes up to me and tells me that, I tell them, this is the first thing first, I am going to be hard. I'm not an Or Sameach rabbi or an Eish rabbi. This is not my specialty. My specialty is showing other things, but not this. I'm convinced. I've been convinced my whole life. There is nothing you can say to convince me otherwise. And that's inherent. I don't know what to say about that. I've been born this way, maybe when I was two. But either way, that's been in me my whole life. But I get what the Chafetz Chaim is saying. The power is getting stronger now. It's difficult to go to the Museum of Science and Industry and not see the different things they have there and hear them say over and over and over again, the world is 1 billion years old, the world is 15 billion years old, the world is this old, and not say to yourself, huh, yeah, maybe, and not say 5778 is kind of crazy after all. I mean, there seems to be civilization. It's hard. I do. I get it. I totally get it. And do we have answers? Yeah, we have answers. We can use Schroeder, Dr. Gerald Schroeder's his answer. We can use the answer of the Medrash Rabbah and Bereishis Rabbah. We can use the different answers from the Netziv. There are ideas. Rabbi Victor Miller has a tremendous answer. Rabbi Schwab has an idea to be able to answer these questions. They're amazing. But the true point to come down to is, do we understand that this is a test? That this whole world is a test for us? That's what it was created for? Olam Hazeh was created for us to get up there to Olam Haba. That's the whole point of it. And it's supposed to be confusing. Good. Let it be confusing. It's that you can get more schar, lost at Lavo, when you show yourself, this is what I believe in. This is what I truly believe in. And you build yourself up. You do everything you can so that it becomes as convincing to you as it should be to anybody else. You work on yourself and go further and further. But a miracle that somebody else does for you, a sign that someone else gives you and shows you and says, see, look, I can do this, I can do anything, that you got to look at and you got to say, that's garbage, buddy. It's garbage. I don't care what you're able to do. I don't care what you're able to show me. It's absolute garbage. Let the magicians on any TV show or special or whatever it is that they show, those guys with sleight of hand that looks crazy, it looks amazing. Cars, look over there, the car. Like, all those things, they're amazing. But they're all fakes. We all know that, right? None of those guys are real. Like that's like a given. So let's get a given here. Every person who gets up and says, I'm a magician, means to say, I am a liar. That's all he's saying. I am a pure and utter liar, and I lie for a living. So that's what he's saying, right? I have nothing against magicians. I think they're awesome, and I love these guys. But nonetheless, you have to know, there is nobody out there who's just like, oh, I just use a shade, everyone. Come, let me introduce you to Yosef Shada, my demon, you know, prince over here. Nobody's doing that stuff. Once we know that, it becomes a little bit different when it comes down to it. There is an Ibn Ezra over here, an Ibn Ezra that goes through the three responses we should have to this pasuk, but we're going to stop with this for right now. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.